Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. This is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important to you in life right now. So we've opened the phone lines again. Toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Life plus forgiveness equals freedom. That's what this gospel message is all about, the fact that you and I are free in Jesus Christ. There's a great verse I want to read right here at the start of the broadcast, guys. It's Romans 7, 5, and 6. For when we were controlled by the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. That is the source of our freedom right there, isn't it, guys?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we see that the sinful passions are actually aroused by the law. To me, that was a shocker when I first realized that. I thought the law was my training wheels. I thought the law was the key to Christian victory. You know, the Spirit's going to help me keep the law. The Spirit's going to fulfill the law through me daily. And I was, you know, I had kind of a mix of Jesus, 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 and then the law. And here we're seeing the opposite of that, that the law actually arouses sinful passions. It's not that the law is bad, but you put me under the law, and here come those sinful passions right at my door all the time. And so that's why he releases us from the law. And then, Bob, as you said here, I mean, wow, we serve in a new way, and it's not about the law. It's not about the oldness of the letter of the law, but instead, it's about being inspired from within, motivated from within, and motivated from an environment of freedom.
And that's what this gospel message is all about. It's this opportunity for us to really experience freedom. And we've been talking about freedom all week, and you know, we're here in the country, we're having a discussion about freedoms, religious freedoms, free speech, all of those sort of things, and some of the rulings that have come down. Is that going to limit our freedoms as believers in Christ? But we have to get back to the fact that no matter what happens in this world around us, no matter what happens here in America from a political perspective, those of us who are in Christ are free, and nothing or no thing can take that away from us. We have been set free by the blood and sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that we can walk in the newness of life. And we can walk in the newness of life whether we're here in America, whether we're in China, wherever we are in this world, as long as we're connected to the Spirit of God and we have Him living inside of us. But Andrew, I think you really hit on something just really profound in the fact that, you know, these sinful passions are aroused by the law. I know there's so many people out there that are trying to fight sin in their life. I did that for so long. And you know, men who are angry, they will get up and their prayers will be, "Lord, help me not be angry today." And as soon as they say it, sin is starting to figure out ways to create an explosion of anger in that person's life. And usually before they get to work that day, they've exploded three or four times just on the highway. Mm-hmm. And you sit there and say, when can I go free from this struggle? And we go free when we die to human effort and come alive to the work of God's Spirit in our lives. And He gives us a whole different perspective.
Yeah, there's a paradox there. It's kind of like this, Bob, that I need to be willing to struggle. I need to be willing to be in a place where I might struggle, because otherwise I'm going to spend my life doing whatever I can to avoid the possibility of struggle. And so when I do that, then I'm controlling the outcome. I'm not giving this to Jesus. I'm saying, you know what, there's no way I should be angry, so I'm going to do whatever I can to not be angry. Count to 10, read 5 books, go to a program, learn this, learn that technique, and all of that is not Christ. And so if I'm really going to give my anger issue over to Christ Jesus, then I'm saying, Lord, I am willing to struggle with this, and I'm willing to have victory over this, but you are the victory, and I'm handing this to you today. And that method of trusting Jesus alone is way different than what religion would teach us, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that is the newness of life that we've been called to live in, trusting Jesus Christ. And that's something foreign to our souls until Jesus comes along and saves us, actually makes us alive together with him, sets us free from the law of sin and death, so that we can live by the power of the law of life in him. That's good news. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody. We have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. We are live so that you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the important issues in your life. So give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey and talk with Wayne, listening to us on WMCA. Wayne, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you, Brother Bob. I have a question. What day that we are to worship on, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11?
According to Exodus?
Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11.
Okay, so you're asking about the fourth commandment, which is to keep the Sabbath day holy. So has the Sabbath day changed? Is there a new day to worship the Lord? How does all of that work itself out, guys, in terms of this new covenant that we live under today? And I think that's really a key issue, and that's the place we need to start.
Yeah, well, you know, Richard, as we look at what people have done to law-based living today, it seems like, you know, we're saying, I'll take Jesus for salvation and I'll take Jesus for heaven. But for everything in between, I may need some of this law business. And then we get into prescribing a certain day, pulling it out of Exodus chapter 20, for example, when really every day belongs to the Lord. And we've kind of got it, you know, we got it mixed up anyway. When we start demanding a certain day, well, that day was Saturday under Judaism, and a lot of Christians are worshiping on Sunday nowadays. And so you say, is it Saturday or is it Sunday? And really, it's any day, because that's, you know, true worship is when we offer our bodies to Jesus Christ. And that's any day and every day, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And that one of the arguments is, so who changed it? Because so many people worship on Sunday. Well, nobody changed it. The law is the law. So there's no argument about that. The issue is that fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, just like all the other nine commandments, was a shadow pointing forward to Jesus and inviting us into an eternal rest. Not just spiritually eternal, but temporally eternal. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, invited to rest from our labors as Jesus rested from his.
Oh, that's good.
Does that make sense, Wayne? So,
yes, thank you for you are
so welcome. I think just to follow up on Wayne's question there, I think it's so important for us to realize that we live in a new covenant.
Yes.
When Jesus died at the cross, he ushered in a brand new covenant. His blood ratified the new covenant that was promised, you know, hundreds of years before Jesus was even on the scene. So today we're new covenant believers. That old covenant was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. It was specific to those two parties. It didn't include other parties. It didn't include the Gentile world, for example. But we are made partakers in this new covenant through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're new covenant believers, and we get to experience all the realities that the old covenant was foreshadowing.
Yes.
And one of those was the Sabbath rest, resting from our works just as God rested from his. And that's when we can really experience freedom. Now, why so many believers worship on Sunday is just simply in honor of the resurrection.
Yes.
The first day that the Lord had been raised back to life. This is a whole new thing that we're experiencing through the resurrection of Christ. Well, Wayne, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, we do. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and they are yours. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from John, who writes to us from Scarsdale, New York, and it refers back to a question we had on the issue of creationism versus evolution earlier on this particular broadcast, and he kind of takes issue with a statement by Richard. So, Richard, this is directed to you. He says, with your permission, I believe a small but significant modification to Richard's comment is in order. And the comment was, if evolution is true, then God cannot exist. He goes on to say, if evolution is true, then God must exist. Putting science aside for a moment, from a purely existential perspective, given the magnificence of evolution and the beauty of the DNA molecule, it would seem impossible, almost ridiculous, to imagine that such a wonderful and improbable world could have been created without him. And finally, to my question, he says, what did you mean when you said if evolution is true, then God cannot exist? That's from John in Scarsdale.
Well, one of the fundamental issues in the theory of evolution is that God does not exist. We don't need God. There's several scientists over the last 2 or 3 years that have just flat out said that. We don't need God. Get rid of that concept altogether and you'll finally be happy. Well, that's wrong. Evolution is antithetical to creation. You can't have God as the unseen mover. You can't have God as the one who started things and then let it wander off on its own to see what would happen. The Bible tells us God spoke and it was. It doesn't bother to tell us how he did that, and I'm fine with that. I love the scientific investigation. I mean, there have been amazing things discovered about the human genome and things like that, but that doesn't prove evolution. What it does is admit, if you were willing to do so, that God is so infinitely great beyond us that look at what he did. Even in our sinful, weakened, devolved state, if you want to use that word. So I see evolution and creation as not two sides of the same coin, but completely different universes. You can't worship the God of this universe and his son Jesus, who is declared to be the creator himself, and believe that this is just a random statistical chance of whatever. You just can't do it.
John, hope you're listening and hope that clears up the issue for you. We have plenty of open lines, friends, and we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. There are many issues that are out there today, and we'd love to discuss them with you. I know that some of them are very troubling to many of you, so this is your opportunity to talk it over with the guys, and we want to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. And guys, of course, we want to extend our thanks to everybody who has partnered with us to help ensure that others hear the same basic gospel message that has been, been so evident in so many of your lives and made such a difference in your lives. But, you know, need to keep the good news coming. And if you can help today as we have entered into a brand new month, if you can help today with an extra gift, perhaps your first gift, that will help tremendously. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. You'll find that link on every page at basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. And he'll make sure that this message remains on the air, changing lives by the truth of God's Word. And keep in mind that a free copy of Bob Christopher's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is yours for a gift of $15 or more. And we encourage you to take advantage of that while you can. Many of you have, and for that we're very, very grateful. And if you'd like to get multiple copies of the book, we have a special site set up just exactly for that. It's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. All the words run together. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. So take advantage of that and get as many copies as you can to pass out to friends, workmates, and just help us get the word out.
Absolutely. Keep this message of freedom going, folks. I mean, that's what people want in their lives. That's what they long for, and that's what the gospel provides, is freedom in Christ, not just a wish for freedom, but true, genuine freedom, something the world cannot take from us. So help keep that message going.
Absolutely. Quickly, a call from Saab, an email from Saab, who lives in London, England. He says, in Revelation, talking about the seven churches, is Christ saying to each church, or Christ does say to each church, but I have this against you. His question is this to us today? Specifically, he would like to know about Revelation 2:4. That's from Saab in London, England.
Okay, very, very interesting. And I think the key point to that is we try to make everything, you know, to us individually. You know, God is speaking to me, and when he says that these are messages to the churches, that's exactly what he means. There were seven churches. They were real churches in Turkey, Ephesus being one of those. And John wrote specifically, or Jesus gave specific messages to each and every one of those. And so it was looking at the church at large, you know, the tendencies of each one. And so to each one, he had something against them. And so he was saying to those leaders, it's time to repent, to come back as a group. And I think that's important for us to understand. Are there messages that could go out to the church today, the church at large? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think those messages you know, should be heeded and listened to, and things should happen as a result. But from an individual standpoint, you know, when we're saved, we're saved. Mm-hmm. And God's Spirit is going to be working in and through us to, you know, bring our attitudes and align them with His, and all of the things that God's Spirit does inside of us. So I think it's important for us to understand that those are actual messages to churches.
Yes, it is. And I've learned to take Revelation from the standpoint of, if the shoe fits, wear it. Because, you know, I know I'm saved. I know I'm completely, utterly saved. And yet there are days when I kind of wander off in the weeds. And the Spirit is always there disciplining me, realigning my attitudes the way they should be. And I've learned to really appreciate that, because it's just one of he does it without condemnation. That's the part I'll never get. I haven't learned how to criticize people without condemnation. But the Spirit always does it without condemnation. It just gently brings us back.
Yeah. Great question. So go ahead, Andrew. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, what's in focus here is really loving Jesus and fixing our eyes on Jesus. So what was the issue? It was get your eyes back on Jesus. So in my book, the Lord can say that to me anytime he wants to, and it's only healthy for me to get my eyes back on Jesus. And, you know, and then the next verse talks about removing your lampstand, and people freak out over that. But, really, I mean, how can we be light without fixing our eyes on Jesus? How can we have a witness? How can we have a message unless we've got our eyes fixed right there on Jesus Christ? So there's a repenting here that they needed to do, and repent is not a bad word. Repent just means turn from it and fix your eyes back on Jesus, and that is a very healthy decision for any Christian to make.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we haven't heard from Saab by phone in a while, but Saab, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live to pose your question, drop us an email. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition. So drop us an email at basicgospel.net or at Bob.
Bob at basicgospel.net. Okay. Yes. Well, let's go to Kelly in Garland, Texas, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Kelly.
Yes. The argument that I want to address is that you either can or cannot believe in evolution, the Big Bang, and so forth, and believe in God. That it's either or. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that at all, because there is such a thing as evolution, maybe not quite the way the scientists want to describe it, but there is such a thing. And it's not a random thing. It is something created by God, supervised by Him, monitored by Him, daily handled by Him and directed by Him as it goes.
Well, yes, the issue.
Likewise, I believe in the Big Bang theory, but it wasn't an all of a sudden Big Bang out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, the kind of evolution you're describing is microevolution, and I absolutely agree with that. I mean, species change over time, but they still remain the same species. Eventually, over time, maybe you see something different, and they name it again. But something from nothing cannot occur unless Jesus speaks it into existence.
Exactly, and that's where the Big Bang came from. Was it from nothing? God created that Big Bang. And to us, it might look like chaos. It wasn't. Every single molecule had its assigned place to go so that the will of God would be worked out, so this world would be created, the universe would be created. The only reason it looks like chaos to us is simply because we don't understand like God does, and we can't see all those little molecules like he can see them all.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we so couldn't the big... do that, so we think he can't.
The big deal here is Kelly, the big deal here is that we have an origins problem apart from God. And so we say, you know, where did the first living cell come from? And a scientist might say, well, it came from a non-living cell. And then where did the first non-living cell come from? Well, maybe it grew on the back of some crystals somewhere. And then they say, well, you know, you say, well, where did the crystals come from? And then, you know, you just keep going with this, where did that come from and where did that come from?
Yeah,
and
well,
ultimately,
only if
we
God
have
said so. Yeah. And if he didn't say so, then he
right.
said something. And that something is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, yeah. And so the big deal is that we can't have something from nothing and that God's the author of all of it. And we Christians can disagree here and there about some points, but ultimately we need to be celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is the creator and he spoke everything into existence.
Exactly. You don't make something from nothing unless you're God.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
you can.
Yeah. Kelly, good to hear from you. We appreciate it.
I've seen God make something from nothing over and over. I'm a massage therapist, and he has given me healing in my hands. I saw a woman receive new thyroids installed, created out of nothing, and that had to be God because he's the only one who could do that stuff.
Only God can heal.
That's right. Well, Kelly, thank you for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for your comments today. Well, let's quickly go to Martin in Brooklyn, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your show. I hear it while I'm driving in a lot of traffic in New York City, and I have a blast listening to you.
Well, thanks, Martin. Glad you're tuned in.
Thank you. I have a question. Just if you could just give me a little more insight on a certain passage on Matthew 27:53. In regards to when the resurrection, actually, let me just read it to you. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection, then went into the holy city and appeared to many people. If you could just please give me a little more inside scoop on what does that involve and what actually took place. Thank you mm-hmm. so much.
Well, sure, Martin, you know, that is a picture of resurrection power. And the reason that God did that was to demonstrate physically what he would soon do spiritually. And that is that he resurrected those people from the dead and they appeared to many people as a picture, a shadow of things to come. And what is the reality? Well, the reality is that Jesus Christ comes to live in you and me and he resurrects us from the dead. And we're the ones that have new life. So just as those people walked around with new physical life, we too now walk with new spiritual life in Jesus Christ, and that is a beautiful message. That's the basic gospel.
Do you think by any chance they had a verbal conversation by what so means, or just they physically appeared and vanished, and that was it?
I think that when God resurrects, it's real. It's not an image or an illusion or something you could put your hands through like a, you know, some sort of film or illusion. It was real. And so they were actually resurrected and walked around just as it says. And so it's a very accurate account of what took place.
And could that actually happen nowadays if a family member was to die and something similar might occur? And could that happen today or not really?
I mean, Jesus could resurrect anyone anytime. He told Lazarus to come out of the tomb. These people were resurrected. And if God wants to bring new life to someone physically, he's the God of the universe. He's calling the shots. And you better believe it, Martin. He can do anything he wants.
Martin, thank you so much for your call. We are out of time on this edition. Friends, I want to remind you that if you like Basic Gospel, be sure to download our app, available now on the Apple App Store. Listen live, catch up on the radio archives, read the blogs, watch our videos. It works on iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android. We invite you also to go to basicgospel.net and join our email list. We'd love for you to be a part of that. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.